Yasya Mahabhutsvarupam Gunarupihi Tattat. That may not be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, he has nothing to do with anything expressed by material vibrations or ascertained by material intelligence or experienced by the material senses or concocted with the material mind. All that stuff just comes from the modes of material nature. Prabhupada says you can't just understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by picking up words from the dictionary. Niruktam. Niruktam means also the Vedic dictionary. Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhave Grayam. You can't understand Krishna by gross senses and mind. Any questions about that? That's just something we hear quite a lot, but we can hear it again. Okay, we come to text 31. This is a really good verse. Yach chaktyo varitam varinam vai vivada sangvada bhuvo pavanti kurvanti chaisam muhuratma moham tasmai namo nanta gunaya bhumne. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts from within the cores of the hearts of all the philosophers. And what does he do for them? He engages them, yach chaktiyab, by his energies. Yach chakti, that person whose energies are working, and what are they doing? They're creating vivada sambada bhuva. They're creating vivada and sambad. Sambad means agreement, and vivad means disagreement. Among whom, varitam vadinam, the speakers of different philosophies, vadinam, varitam, by his energies, they're speaking different philosophies, holding different positions, arguing among themselves, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing. And in this way, the Lord enables them to forget their own souls, atma moham. They become completely bewildered about who they are, and forget about self-realization. He creates within the material world a situation in which they're unable to come to a conclusion. Namo anantaya gunaya bhumne. I offer my obeisances to that Personality of Godhead, unlimited in qualities, who creates such a state of affairs. Very nice analysis. Very nice analysis. How do you like it? Where do we find this going on? Sambadam, vivada, agreement, disagreement, different theories. Where do you find this going on?
Scientists?
Even our own devotees? Do we find it among devotees? Different theories, different mental speculations, different arguments, flame wars, they're called, on the internet, where people get all hot about their positions, and they start writing papers, as they're called, and sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing. Do we find that? Where else?
India. India, different institutions, yoga institutions of different types.
Yeah, different, in India, different yoga institutions or different philosophers. Advaitavad, Dvaitavad. Where else?
Throughout the world,
Mara. Throughout the world.
Where you go.
Every place you go. You know, the two people are hanging out the clothes and saying, you know, if you ask me, you know, she's crazy to get involved with that guy. Well, I don't know. I think he's really a good guy and he really loves her. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Doris. You just, you know. And a third one comes up and says, well, you know, they're agreeing and disagreeing. Where else?
Politicians,
sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing. Lawyers.
Husbands and wives.
Your own mind. It takes two sides and argues with itself. Yeah, where else? Huh? Institutions that, you know, they'll go to war. Where else?
Social sciences.
Huh?
Social scientists.
Social scientists, sure, and the social scientists, or basically the whole world of academia. Everybody's got to argue with everybody else. You know, well, I think Professor McNeil analyzed this very well, but he really ought to have noticed blah, 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 which renders his ideas partially acceptable, but really not complete, and therefore I propose, and therefore the next guy proposes that, well, Professor Jones did quite a good critique of Professor McNeil, but he ought to have noticed, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So that goes on in academia constantly. In the military, different generals have different ideas about which way to go, and they argue, you know, it gets to be a real hot thing lots of times, what strategy to follow. Any place else?
Every level.
But here Prabhupada especially targets the philosophers. Is there a word there that indicates it? Yeah, vadatam, the bodies. Advaitavad, this vad, that vad. Vad means philosophies. It also means whatever you say. But generally taken as philosophers. And Prabhupada quotes, Nasa Vrishir Yasya Matam Nabinna. No one can be a philosopher unless he has a different opinion. That's what it means to be a philosopher. You have to have a philosophy. And to have a philosophy, it has to be different. Otherwise, you don't have a philosophy. You're just subscribing to someone else's philosophy. So people come up with their own philosophies and then argue about it. Capitalism is not as good as communism. Communism is not as good as fascism. This one's not as good as that one. Whatever it is. And especially Kali Yuga, which is the age of argument. Not even the age of arguments, the age of quarrel. Quarrel and argument are a little bit different. The philosophers argue, but there's some sort of principles to the argument. Age of Kali is just quarrel. It's practically just spitting at one another, just arguing and quarreling like cats and dogs. But otherwise, the philosophers argue according to some rules, some principles. But they all have different opinions. I remember when I was in high school, or maybe it was junior high school, one or the other, anyway, when I was a kid. And I was really looking forward to philosophy. They had different courses, and one course is philosophy. And So finally, I got there in the philosophy course, and you're hearing about Kant, and you're hearing about Hegel, and you're hearing about Heidegger, and you're hearing about this one, and you're hearing about that one. And not that I understood all that much about everybody's philosophy, but one good thing I could easily understand right away was that it's all about each one talking about how the previous one was wrong. Each one is talking about how the previous one is wrong. He put out his system and it had its merits, but here's why my philosophy remedies the defects or answers the defects of his philosophy or overturns his philosophy and establishes something better. And it goes on and on and on that way. There's no end to it. That's mentioned here. Muhu, continuously, on and on and on, creating this bewilderment. So people are busy fighting over their philosophical ideas, but there's no conclusion. There's no conclusion. Even when you preach, you find so many people, and everybody's a philosopher. Everybody's got his own idea. May not be his own, maybe borrowed, but if you've got one thing to say, he's got another thing to say. So actually, this is Krishna's arrangement that for those who are in the modes of material nature, Krishna acts from within their heart to bewilder them so that they never reach the conclusion. Yes.
So why would Krishna work within their heart to bewilder them if he wants them to eventually come to Krishna? Because a living entity wants to be bewildered?
Yeah, they want to be bewildered. That's why they're philosophers. They, they're philosophers for two reasons. One is they want to know the truth, and one is they want to be philosophers. They want to speculate. It's their enjoyment. Just as people on the gross platform, they want to drink, they want to smoke, they want to chase women, they want to do this stuff, and that's their enjoyment. So for philosophers, it's to write a book. It's to have a systematic outline of this or that or the other thing. It's to do battle with other philosophies. And that's their joy, that's their sense gratification. What the actual truth is almost less important than the truth gets lost in the shuffle. They're busy fighting about the truth in such a way that they can't understand the truth. Because their process is an arrogant process, finally. It's a egotistical process. It's the ascending process. I will figure out what the truth is, rather than accepting from the descending process. So in so many ways, they become bewildered. This is one of the hazards. You get these philosophers who are great people. They've got huge intellects, and they can categorize, and they can observe fine distinctions, and they can analyze very subtle things going on. But they can't reach a conclusion. What should I do with my life? Well, what I should do with my life is analyze and categorize and finally die. So they're missing the point. Therefore, Krishna calls them Maya Pratigyan, those whose erudite knowledge is stolen by illusion. And here it is, the illusory energy of the Lord, especially the impersonalist philosophers who are, come up with philosophies that represent envy of the Lord. They're the most unfortunate, Atma Moha. Anything else? Okay. Let's see, how are we doing on time? Yeah, we're doing okay. Why don't we'll do something for a break. We'll change pace. If we go to page 236, I think all the pages are numbered the same. It's 236 is text 34 in the purport a little bit. You see the paragraph beginning in this regard? Okay, we happen to have Prabhupada dictating that purport. This comes from a DVD that was put out from the North European DVT for the Sankirtan Marathon. They have all sorts of goodies on it. And one of the goodies is Prabhupada dictating this part of this purport. What I propose, since it's hard to see out here, is we could just quickly move this table into the house there, and along with the microphone that will allow us to hear it. And we'll just gather around and watch on this little teeny screen. It's, you know, wasn't worth setting up and moving and blah blah. Just we can put it here. We can all watch from.
It's gonna go on to the speaker.
Yeah.
So we want to lift the whole table.
Yeah, let's move the whole table. It's the easiest way to do it.
Very careful.
But you can't come in, or you'll freeze. Stay out in the sun. It's very cold in here. Don't come inside.
Where's the speaker?
The speaker is
on the side of the front.
It's in the front, sort of. Actually, it's underneath. It's really where it is. So we'll just somehow. I know what we can do. We can put this here. That'll do it. You'll be close enough that way.
Sound is on.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Give me just a minute. Okay, I'll try to be out of your way visually. There are two things. There's a dual purpose to this. One is you get to see Prabhupada translating, and the other, and one reason that Brahma Muhurta Prabhu put it together this way, is you get to see the problems that the translators faced, or the transcribers faced, when they were dealing with transcribing Prabhupada's dictation. So what it consists of, what we'll see, is a movie done by Yadubara of Prabhupada translating. And you also, so you'll see that and hear Prabhupada dictating, and then separately you'll get to hear directly from the recording that Prabhupada made what the transcribers got to hear. Generally those cassettes of Prabhupada dictating were destroyed. Prabhupada just would record right over them. But sometimes they were preserved. Krishna book is mostly preserved, and a few little pieces here and there. So this is one of those pieces, and I think it's pretty instructive to see. I wonder what quality. I think it's pretty good quality. We can blow this up. It's not very long, but you get to see a little bit of it. Can you see?
Just like 3 feet closer.
Can you see at this angle?
No, I
can't see it.
This is, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in this connection a description of difference of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ordinary living being. Supreme Personality of God, an ordinary living being. This has been described in the previous verse. Satbhang Pumana Bhida Uran Sutatbhyam Nabhida Satbhagga Mananta Bhidit. The purpose that Supreme Lord is omnipotent, omniscient. He knows everything, but the living being does not know actually what is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ordinary living being. Of the Supreme Personality of God, an ordinary living being. Guidance of the Supreme Personality of God, an ordinary living being. Guidance of the Supreme Personality of God, an ordinary living being. Defiance of the Supreme Personality of God, an ordinary living being.
That's it. That's the whole section.
So how did they transcribe it then?
How did they possibly transcribe it?
How did they get this from...
From that. Well, first, so that's the next thing we look at. First thing is, they have to hear it, which itself is a challenge. Then the next thing is, it gets edited. You know, people have the idea that it just like flowed out from Prabhupada's mouth and got transcribed and then just printed. And somebody added commas and so on. And punctuation, make sure things were capitalized right. There's a lot more involved than that. Because Prabhupada's speaking, not writing. And so you get these staccato sentences. You get repetition where Prabhupada's saying the same thing, you know, several times. You get things where it's out of order. And you have to put things in order. So what you see there is typical of what's in Prabhupada's books. We can play it again if you'd like, and we could read along, and you'll see how, in one sense, different it is. The words really change on the way from the dictation to the page. And the other side, when you go through it and look at it, you say, well, yeah, that's what Prabhupada said.
Yeah.
Everything is, at the end of the day, all the pieces are there. You want to do that? You want to see it again?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll let you pick up this copy. You have three copies total, including this one. So you're right there where the little arrowhead is. And we'll play it again.
This is 74.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives in this connection a description of difference of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an ordinary living being. So this is difference of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an ordinary living being. This has been described in the previous verse. Satbhang Pumana Bhida Uran Sutatbhyam Nabhida Satbhagga Mananta Bhidit. The purpose is that Supreme Lord is omnipotent, omniscient. He knows everything, but the living being does not know actually what is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead
As now I can go through that with you and tell you, is there more here?
Really stop it.
I can't see to stop it.
And,
I know, I can hit escape.
And of the supreme personality of God
is
ordinary,
living being.
Escape?
You can stop.
That stops it, okay. So there's Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in this connection gives a description of, I think that's what Prabhupada said.
Mm-hmm.
But that's first of all, you want the in this connection to be in the beginning because so you can connect it. Connection is Latin, regard is saves a syllable. Mm-hmm. You get all these connection. Prabhupada always says in this connection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shortened a little bit. Gives a description of is a long way of saying describes.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the maybe position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the ordinary living being.
Yeah.
To make that parallel, you'd have to say the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that of the ordinary living being. Position doesn't really get you anything extra, mm-hmm. so you knock that out. Then, something as
this
there's a description in the previous verse, it's not the previous verse, it's a previous verse. And there is a description of, again, it's like 10 words that you could do in 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shortened down. He's omnipotent. Yeah, that's said. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Well, that's redundant. You have to choose one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But the living being does not know actually the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the normal position for actually is between the verb and the not.
Mm-hmm.
Does not actually know. Or between the verb and the helper. Does know, does actually know, or does not actually know. That's
mm-hmm.
the natural placement for it.
Mm-hmm.
And position of, again, doesn't get you anything. This, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that must have been the next thing Prabhupada said.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why that got added.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't just somebody thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
It must have been next in the dictation and it got moved up. So that's kind of what goes into, you know, like 5 sentences of Prabhupada's purport. The meaning, I think, comes out the same,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't come out word for word,
mm-hmm.
sentence
mm-hmm.
for sentence, construction by construction the same. So you get these people who are on the internet and saying, you know, we want Prabhupada's books just as he spoke them, you know. We want the unedited books. Well, there are no unedited books, except for the letters book, or something like that. You know, you get conversations just transcribed, yeah, that's unedited. But every book, in terms of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, any book, as we call them, that's not just
recently?
An archival thing.
This was put out recently?
Yeah, this is a DVD that has been put out by the North European DVT for the Sankirtan Marathon, actually. It's a fantastic DVD. I should have brought copies. Anyone who'd like a copy, you want a copy? You can copy it right off the disc,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I've got a memory stick.
Well, you can take it right off the
hard drive.
And then anyone...
Yeah, I have a memory stick of copy.
You got to have a big memory stick because it's got... it's a DVD, so it's got to be...
You can put it on the external hard drive.
You can put it on an external hard drive. Or you can get it from Gopal.
Okay.
Because Gopal will have it. And you're welcome to make copies. There's Atul Krishna Prabhu has a copy for the VIHE. It's got some more clips of Prabhupada speaking. It's got a lot of realizations from Sankirtan devotees. It's got on the street, live book distribution in different countries by different book distributors. It's got a lot of video clips about the editing of Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's got an inspirational talk by Gopal Krishna Maharaj about book distribution. There's a lot in there. It's can keep you busy for a long time.
So this should put to rest all the controversy about...
Oh, nothing puts controversies to rest. Yes.
So all of majority of all of Srila Prabhupada's books were done like this?
Not majority, all of them.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Every book is edited. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. He asked that the books be edited.
He dictaphone and then...
It wasn't always dictaphone. Bhagavad Gita, part of Bhagavad Gita, like maybe the first six chapters, was actually written or typed, not dictated, because he didn't get the dictaphone until after. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I don't think was... I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure how TLC was done. Bhagavad Gita is the main one that was, but Nectar of Devotion, Dictaphone, first canto, of course, Prabhupada's own composition. I think second canto also, but third canto after maybe five chapters or something, Dictaphone for the rest of the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dictaphone. The Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada dictated, and Satsrupa Maharaj took it down longhand right on the spot. Yeah. So that's an exceptional one. I'm not sure why, but I guess Prabhupada didn't have a dictaphone or something.
And Srila Prabhupada obviously read the manuscripts before they went to printing?
No, not always. In fact, most of the time not. Most of the Bhagavatam, he didn't see the manuscripts before they just went through. Prabhupada didn't look.
Would you ever have questions, like if you couldn't understand and you'd have to ask him, or say, what did you mean here?
Yeah, we'd ask Prabhupada sometimes. One time I asked him, I sent a note in Krishna book, Jayati Janinivaso, Devaki Janmavaro, that verse is there in the last chapter. And Prabhupada, he doesn't quote the verse, but he explains, he's giving the purport, the summary. And at some place he says that Krishna's Yadavada Parishad, something he uses the word Yadavada. He doesn't even use the word, he just said something that we couldn't figure out what Prabhupada was trying to say. And Prabhupada just wrote on the back of the page, Yadavada Parishad. That was the whole explanation. Because Pradyumna was there.
Yeah.
So you want the explanation? Well, I'm trying to explain Yadavada Parishad. So you fix it accordingly. Yeah. That was the answer for that one. Sometimes the answer was, he would answer it, he would explain things. I asked him sometime how the Parshuram created these, what, six or nine pools of blood at Kurukshetra, with the blood of all the Kshatriyas. And then it says that when the eclipse took place and the Dadvasis and everyone gathered at Kurukshetra, then they were bathing in these pools. So I asked him, were they bathing in blood? Prabhupada explained that, it separates. The water and the rest of the stuff separates. So he said that. Sometimes I'd ask him about, all sorts of questions, big or small. Sanskrit devotees would ask him questions.
Yeah, they couldn't, if he quoted something and they couldn't understand or where it was.
Usually they would just try to figure it out.
It seemed to
they'd look
really
in their reference
books.
They would speculate. In Bhagavad Gita, there's immense amount of speculation as to what verses Prabhupada was quoting. I just found an example of one that's wrong to this day. It was not caught until a couple of weeks ago, where Prabhupada is, they have him quoting one verse and it's really two different verses. And we still find stuff like that. Something like a computer program, it always has bugs, and no matter how you keep going, there's more bugs to find. But yes, we did ask questions, and Prabhupada helped us answer specific questions. A lot of the questions later years, we would ask the Sanskrit department. In the beginning, there was no Sanskrit department to speak of. They just put the diacritics in. But later, we had Pradyumna and others, and we go to them rather than bother Prabhupada with this question, that question. Go to the Sanskrit department and say, what's this supposed to do? And they would...
Who was on this, besides Pradyumna?
Pradyumna, Nitai, Jai Sachinandan, Jagannath Das,
Gopi
Pranadana got on there a little later. They wouldn't let him study Sanskrit. He told me the story. He was just doing diacritics and stuff. And proofing. But yes, then Gopi, of course.
And did they have the same, was there a set team of people who were transcribing? So they get used to hearing Prabhupada's accent?
Pretty much. Well, toward later, it became Arundhati. Prabhupada brought Pradyumna and Arundhati onto his team. So it was a good team because Arundhati would do the transcription and Prabhupada would do the, Pradyumna would do the Sanskrit editing. And she also learned Devanagari so that for doing the word for word, which was very difficult just by hearing, she'd just follow along in the book and she'd have it. Yeah. So she became quite expert. Harikesh for a while was traveling with Prabhupada and he became expert in doing it. In the early days, I was transcribing. Narayani was a transcriber. Satsrut Maharaj was a transcriber. In the beginning, it was people who really didn't know what they were doing. This guy, Neil, who was a college... Neil? I think so. A college student from Amherst, who spent a little time at 26 Second Avenue. All sorts of people were the transcribers. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, was... not the same sort of transcription that we got later on from people like Narayana or Rangati or Harikesh. So there's all sorts of things going on.
Mamata, she told me she was always transcribing.
Yeah, Mamata, I think, was transcribing, yes.
She was doing the CC, and I don't know what else she also did, she was telling me.
Yeah, I think Mamata must have done transcription.
She said she did a lot.
Yeah, Mamata, Balai... they were
Ragatmika, Chaitanya, she was doing.
Yeah, but I don't think she was doing transcription. That would have been Arundhati, but she would have been doing composing and composing, typing and composing.
Battery's low. This is fine.
Yours or mine?
Mine.
Uh huh. So
plug it in.
It's up to you if you want to give it a shot before your battery runs out.
I need to stop this.
You can just pull it, actually. It'll be okay.
Oh, we're doing it. Fine.
It should detect it. If it doesn't, then maybe we could do that a little bit.
That's your disk. That's not. Oh, it's not seeing anything else. Not seeing. It found nobody. Okay, it's loading it up. It's a lot of labor-intensive editing and.
Oh yeah.
It's had a whole crew.
Yeah. It was a lot.
Okay, now it's ready to use. Now we open it up. Now it's there. You want to use this?
Yeah, it's better for you. Drop it on the desktop.
Here it is, actually. I would suggest you turn your screen way down. Oh no, I'll just skip the table. Actually, it'd be for the computers.
Sound system.
Okay.
You remember the book?
Who has my book? And what kind do we have? Oh, we have 9 minutes. Okay.
Is there any more questions about that? There's probably much more questions about that, right?
I really appreciate that because it just really puts things in perspective. We just kind of take books for granted. They're here. There's a lot of work that went in.
Yeah.
Yes,
you think about
how many people were doing 8 hours a day of typing and composing. Ragatmika, Mamata. We had a schedule, 4 hours. Like somebody, at one point we had a schedule, quite a while actually, because the composing machines
We only had, they were $5,000 a piece. And that was very expensive back then. We only had one, and then we got a second. And there was a lot of work to do. So we were running those machines around the clock, which meant that we had three shifts. Somebody was typing from 12 to 4 a.m. and 12 to 4 p.m. The next person was typing 4 to 8 a.m. and 4 to 8 p.m. And the next person was 8 to 12 a.m. and 8 to 12 p.m. And in that way, it was going around the clock. We drove the machines into the ground, but that's how we were able to, you know, before the days when computers had anything to do with anything, it was being done on these IBM Selectric composers with devotees typing, like in the basement of the Boston Temple in the winter with gloves on, you know, doing like the 12 to 4 slot, palika, you know. I remember her working like that with gloves on, you know, doing the morning shift, the early, you know, the midnight shift really, in the basement in Boston, you know, when it was freezing. So, yeah, there's a lot of work that went into doing this. In the few minutes remaining, we'll just come to the very end of the chapter. There are two points, we'll visit two verses, both of them pretty quickly. Text 47, you might notice, has, let's get in the right chapter first of all, resembles one of the Chaturshloki verses in the second canto. So the same point is being made, that everything is ultimately coming from the personality of Godhead alone. He exists with his potencies before everything, and he exists after the annihilation of everything. So essentially the same points are being made. At the end of the chapter, Prajapati Daksha finishes his prayers, and here it's said that he was able to create nine personalities to help him in the functions of the creation. So that may be your nine Prajapatis, or may not. It's a hint that perhaps that's who are being discussed. Important Visvasraja, Navad Visvasraja. I don't know if that means the whether there are nine Prajapatis or not. We know there's more than one. But at the end, the Lord becomes pleased and awards him a girl named Asikni to accept as his wife, because if you're going to create population, it's not a one-man job unless you're Lord Brahma. So now he tells them that you get together, and by sex, you'll be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl to increase the population. And there are several comments. One is that this was not contrary to religious principles, because the sex was for the sake of creating population on the order of the Lord. And another comment is that he had the dakshas very sexually inclined, and he kept the same set of desires, so that's why he came back with the same job in the next life. And another point is that, yes, it was offered by the Lord, but this is not for the advanced devotees. The advanced devotees, Anya Abhilasha Dushunyam. And Prabhupada said that if the American boys and girls, I guess it's not just Americans, but engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement, want to advance in Krishna consciousness to achieve the supreme benefit of loving service to the Lord, they should refrain from indulging in this facility for sex life. Therefore, we advise that one should at least refrain from illicit sex. Even if there are opportunities, one should voluntarily accept the limitation of sex only for progeny, not any other purpose. So that's the advice. Only as much as needed, not unlimitedly, if one wants to go back to Godhead. And Kardamuni has mentioned he had some little desire, so that was facilitated, but then he completely renounced. So Daksha, it seems, was more sexually inclined, and therefore this position was given to him, where he received the blessing, essentially, for unlimited sex. And you can imagine how many people, if you could publish a book where you just do this, and you'll have unlimited sex, as much as you want, no restrictions whatsoever, thousands and thousands and so on, they would love it. The topmost enjoyment in the material world. But it's not very good. It opens one up to committing offenses, as Daksha did. So, although it seems like a great benediction, actually it's not a very good benediction for those who are serious about spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada finally says, one should not seek the favor of the Lord for unlimited potency in sex life. That's not wise. And we're right on. Any final point before we break up for the day? Yes? Excuse me?
Is Narada a post?
I don't know that there's a post. He's a person with his own history and so on. I haven't seen that there's a post. But the Prajapatis, the sages, they're posts for that. The seven sages, the Manus, these are posts. Narad Muni comes all the time. Comes and goes whenever he wants.
That's why I was thinking like...
No, it's not like each Manu. There's a different Narad Muni. Narad Muni is Narad Muni. He's eternal.
Only one person.
One person. Okay? All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Probably take me quite a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you want to keep, you want to just keep the, you know,
that bring it back to the room.
Thank you. see where product is leading to.
Oh, that's right. You're literally fed up. I don't know if you're a cognitive person. Is this better?
Yeah. Wow.